Good morning. Man, I pray everybody is doing well and you're nice and warm. And we are so glad to have the opportunity to be able to be back together. I guess it's been kind of like 3 weeks when you total it all up. And I don't know about you, but it is so good to see smiling faces and be able to shake hands and have some hugs along the way. So I am so glad that you have chosen to be in the house of the Lord today. Hey, look around, give somebody a wave and a big old smile that says, I am tickled to death that you're here. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that everybody is well, warm, and safe. And do continue to remember those that haven't actually ventured out just yet, because there's still a little bit of, at least down my way, there's still a little bit of ice and snow and everything else that goes along with it. So do remember those that are not able to be with us. And then also, as always, we're tickled to death to welcome our online audience with us today. Everybody pretty much came to online church last couple of weeks, and I was tickled to death that we have the opportunity to be able to do that. although there's still nothing like being with God's people in God's house on the Lord's Day. So we're so glad that you're back. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our online minister, Dr. John Cazito. I am so happy that he is around, and even though he's usually to my left, the last 2 weeks, he was across town, but we were still together in the virtual house of the Lord, and I'm tickled to death that he is right there. I appreciate everything that he does. So we're so glad that you are here with us. We will do the best we can to get you caught up on everything that we know and all the things that are going on as we progress today. But as for now, let's kind of calm our hearts and let's gather around in prayer as we join each other in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, again, we are thankful. Father, not being able to meet for 2 weeks has been tough. It's been trying. But what a blessing it is this morning to be able to come back together to see our brothers and sisters, to fellowship with them, Lord, to pass out hugs and handshakes. And we thank you, Father, today for the blessing of being able to gather in your house in a nice, comfortable, warm place, and we attribute all that to you. So, Father, today we know that as we have gathered, there's no accident that each of us are here and that you want to speak to us through your word. I pray, Father, that today truly would be a day that we would keep our focus upon you. Lord, may we hear the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit deals with each and every one of us on an individual basis through the Word. Now, Father, I pray that you will help us to have courage to make adjustments where adjustments are needed. And as always, if there's one that doesn't know you today, I pray that the Holy Spirit's knock on their door, their heart's door, would be open and that they would accept you as Lord and Savior. Father, for those that may be walking wayward today, much like the prodigal son, I pray that you will call them home. May they come to themselves today and come back to you. But Lord, above all things, help us to fellowship with you. Help us, Lord, to meet you in this place, and may we be forever changed because we have been in your presence and around your word today. And Lord, we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great to be with you today. Please stand with me as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. So please feel free to sing along with us.
before you. You silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no
on the everlasting arms.
Jesus, may your dreams
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Creating a great, great atmosphere for worship in the house of the Lord. I got to see if I can remember how to do this. I got a feeling once I get started, it'll come back pretty easy. But before I get started, I do want to remind folks that starting actually last Sunday, we are actually taking our offering for our Cuba mission trip. Now, we've lost a Sunday, maybe even two Sundays. That means that in two Sundays, we've got to raise a bunch of money to go to Cuba. So I'll just say it outright. As we've said before, we always ask on our mission, this mission trip, we ask our missionaries to raise their support outside of the church so that anything that is collected in the church, what you give, goes to support the ministries that take place over there in Cuba. Just as a reminder, one of the things is that we carry the annual support for the Awana missionary that's over there. We've got him plugged in with the Eastern Convention. I want to let you guys know that you all have single-handedly funded the power project for the retirement center. In other words, the funding for all the solar panels that they have that they're putting up, and hopefully we'll have working by the time that we get there. I heard they needed a switch for that, but so that they will have power, so that they will be able to cook meals for the senior residents at the senior center. And then several different things. We support the pastors along the way. We're grateful for the opportunities that we have to be in churches that we have been in for over 20 years. So be sure to pray for our team as we prepare. And then also, if the Lord leads, and he needs to lead fast, he knows what time it is, you can give to the Cuba Mission Fund. You can take one of our envelopes or whatever, you can put Cuba on that. We will be leaving on the 26th, if that tells you anything. Normally, we have the four Sundays leading into our trip, you know, to remind folks and give you an opportunity to pray about how you can support that. You have done an outstanding, overwhelming job in supporting this mission over the past two decades. So we've got a budget. There's certain things that we want to continue to fund as we go there. So our prayer is that the Lord will lead. He will lead fast, and we will know, because Mari actually has to take what comes in and convert that to cash so that we take that with us. So it's not as easy as, well, here, take a check or use a credit card. So there's always a caveat when you're going to someplace like Cuba. So I'm reminding you now, grab an envelope, tie a string around your finger or what have you. Starting today, we will take our Cuba offering. We'll do that for the next, today, next Sunday and the following Sunday, and then we will be on a plane on a mission field. So at any rate, just a reminder, we'll let you know a little bit more about that as we go forward. But at any rate, today we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Luke's Gospel chapter 6. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. You know, there's a very special and interesting thing that is coming up this coming Saturday. Anybody know what Saturday's date is? Hey, some of you do. That must mean that some of you are, you know, have a spouse or a girlfriend or boyfriend, and make sure you have the right one. But at any rate, you know, when it comes down to those sort of things, yeah, you are probably planning to show those as signs and expressions of love. And you know what? We get into this, and we learn so much from God's Word, and we learn so much from the Bible about love. We all know that. And too often what happens is we get love mixed up with an emotion, this giddy feeling that we get. And often when it comes down to doing premarital counseling, one of the things that I point out is that marriage is about a commitment. Marriage is one of those things where you're saying, I am choosing to spend the rest of my life with this person through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And any of us that have been married for any period of time realize that you're going to cover all three of those things, the good, the bad, and the ugly along the way, all right? Yeah, so you're standing there going, whoa, hang on a minute, this is not what I signed up for. Yeah, it's exactly what you signed up for, to stick with that person through thick and thin throughout life. Now, you know, those things are easy to do, you know, and when all is right with the world. And then what happens is often we preachers will go to certain segments of the Bible, not saying there's anything wrong with that at all, but what will happen is we will preach on love. We will go to the passages in Corinthians that talks about love is patient. Love is kind, you know, love doesn't puff itself up. We've heard those things, right? And they are spectacular things. But here's the one thing I want us to look at from a little bit of a different perspective today. In today's sermon, we're going to journey through a teaching of Jesus that calls us to love beyond the boundaries of natural limits. And you're going to understand in just a moment, when we look at our passage, exactly what we're talking about, right? It's going to push your limits. This is a message that is found in the Gospel of Luke, and it challenges us to redefine our understanding of love and of mercy. Look with me, if you would, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. We're only going to deal with two verses today, but Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 35. Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 35. It says, but love your enemies. I lost some of you right there. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're so grateful and thankful again for this opportunity to gather in your house. We are so grateful, Father, to be able to love on and be loved by brothers and sisters as we journey this earthly journey before we get to see you in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Lord, today, again, I ask that you would help us to concentrate on the movement of the Holy Spirit. Father, open our hearts and open our minds to be receptive to the message that you have for us today, specifically concerning love. Now, Lord, move us in your direction. Use me as your messenger. Father, I pray that you and you alone truly would be lifted up. Lord, your word says if we lift you up, you will draw all people unto you. Help us, Father, to lift you up in a way that it will draw people to you. And bless our time as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, that one was a little tricky. You weren't expecting that one coming into Valentine's Day, were you? You were expecting all the good stuff. Listen, it is easy to love lovable people. Amen? There are people in your life that when you see them, you just bubble up inside. You know, that's the way I was, you know, when I came in the door. I've said so many times, I missed getting a little sugar and a hug from Nancy coming in that door on Sunday mornings. Nancy Moreau, man, what a hug. I missed, you know, getting a hug from Judy and all these people. And to see the smiling faces of all of God's people as we have that opportunity to come together. There are people who are easy to love. You are drawn to them, and that's where we want to spend most of our time, is with those that are easy to love. But when we get over into this particular passage, the Lord tells us this. He didn't say, love those that are easy to love. He said, love your what? Oh, man, you're asking a lot now, Lord. Love my enemies? Yeah, do you understand, Lord, what enemy means? I'm not supposed to love my enemies. See, that's what we've got in our hearts and in our minds. Because listen, as easy as there are some people to love, there are some people that are very difficult to love, right? And some of y'all are going, hallelujah, I'll be seeing them tomorrow morning. I'll be seeing them when I get home in the drive. There are some people that are difficult to love on. Why? They make it difficult. Some people just make it difficult. And yet, that doesn't give us an excuse not to be what God called us to be when it comes down to loving each other, and especially loving those who are your enemies. Sometimes that's a difficult thing. Sometimes we struggle with those things. And when we look at this particular passage, the Gospel of Luke, it's often noted for its focuses on teachings of Jesus that were regarding love and mercy and compassion. And this seems like a little bit of a departure from that. And chapter 6 is set within what is called the Sermon on the Plain. And it's a significant teaching moment where Jesus addresses a crowd consisting of his disciples as well as a multitude of people from Judea as well as Jerusalem. And here Jesus contrasts the behaviors expected in his kingdom with those observed in worldly standards. So it's a compare and contrast kind of thing. You know, in other words, here's what Jesus expects of his children, and yet on the other hand, this is what I'm seeing. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus were to look at us today in this world and in this society, how do you think that compare and contrast would stack up? Yeah, not very good at all. Now, here's part of the problem. We as believers can often find ourselves being guilty of not loving our enemies. Now, what's the problem with that? Here's a problem. Do you realize that when you have an enemy, very often they will view you as an enemy, and then you stand up and talk about, I am a born-again believer. You know what that says to them? It says a couple of things. It says, number one, that's not something I want to be. If that's what Jesus' people are like, I don't want to be like that. That's what it says. It says that we are not representing the kingdom of heaven as we should here on earth. Because let me tell you this, and I've stated this over and over in my tenure here at Central Baptist Church, but unbelievers know how believers should walk and talk and live. They know that. They can tell you in a heartbeat, that is not the way a Christian should act. And I know some of us want to say, well, how do you know you're not one? By your own, even if it is their own confession, they know how a Christian ought to walk and ought to talk. So what kind of an example are we being to those around us if we are not loving our enemies? What does it look like? And not only what does it look like, what does the Father think about that? How do we deal with our enemies? Again, there's a lot of people that are easy to love on, but Jesus says, what about the people that are not so easy to love? That doesn't excuse us for not being what He wants us to be. So Jesus, in this passage, is contrasting the kingdom's behavior as it should be as opposed to what he is seeing in the worldly standards of the world back in that day. And he was emphasizing a radical kind of love that really transcends just mere human affection. Something that is going to, we know what that word radical means, right? That means something that you're like, whoa, man, that's something completely different. Radical love towards our enemies. You know, for me, I've always said this. I like to purpose. I got to be careful because sometimes my intentions, and I'll be transparent with you, sometimes my intentions maybe aren't the best. You know, when you have that enemy or whatever, I'm going to find my enemies when I know they're in the same room. You know why? Because A, I'm going to give them a smile. I'm going to give them a handshake. And some people say, why is that just, you know, what are you doing that for? Sometimes intention is not the most pure, but I'm going to at least let them know I'm there. You know what I'm saying? But yet, I do it with the purest of heart because I know what the Word tells us. The Word says that I am to love my enemies. I don't know why it has gotten to be in our society that we cannot sit down and have a conversation anymore. You know what? We don't always have to agree. I will guarantee you that in this room, with this number of people in there, that I can sit down with each and every one of you and find something that we disagree on. Okay? Does that mean that I have to hate you because we disagree on something? Absolutely not. We should still love one another. We should still be able to care for one another and mean it. You know, all of a sudden, you know, when something like what happened over the past 2 weeks and somebody is homebound and they can't get out and they need something, you know what? I would hate to hear somebody say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to go get Miss Agnes's medicine because I don't like her. She's my enemy. As far as I'm concerned, she could do without her blood pressure pills for a few days. And see, that's what we do. And I know as bad as that sounds, as I'm bringing it out to you, that's kind of what that's what happens inside of us, isn't it? That's the little devil and the little angel thing on each shoulder. And the little angel is sitting there and the Holy Spirit is saying, look, love your enemies. Do something kind for them. Yeah, and do it because of the love of the Lord, not out of some sort of I'm trying to get even with you kind of thing. That's, yeah, and yet at the same time, you got that little devil over on that other shoulder sitting back going, don't do it, don't do it. Remember what they did to you? They don't deserve it. And we've got that internal struggle, don't we? But then he goes on and he says something. He starts off in this text by exhorting followers to love their enemies, to do good. Now, did you get this one? And lend, hoping for nothing in return. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Preacher's getting in my wallet now. No, man. Listen, that's my enemy. You expect me to do something for my enemy and not expect them to repay me? Well, you don't have to like the message, but don't nail the messenger. That's what it says. It says that when you do. By the way, last time I checked, and it for my whole life it seems to have been that way, everything belongs to God. It is all His. Everything that you have, everything that I have, we are stewards of. We understand that word. That's a churchy word, isn't it? But what that means is that we are just simply managers of something that belongs to somebody else. You know, my house don't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. My automobile doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. My bank account doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. I like preaching about tithing in this church. You know why? Because y'all do it. I've said before, I've never offended a tither talking about the tithe. But the Lord says this, all of a sudden when you're like, the Lord says, hey, here, I want you to do something. And you're like, okay. And often it's something that's pretty costly. And maybe you've had to fund something for somebody. Maybe you've had to dig into your pockets to help out in some way with somebody. And then the Lord says this. The Lord says, don't take anything back from them. Don't let them repay you those several thousands of dollars. And what do? We're like, well, I thought it was just a loan, God. I just thought that you just wanted me to float them a loan, that they would pay me back in some way. And the Lord said, well, yeah, that was what I was thinking at first, but you know what? I want to bless them. So I don't want you to take anything back from them. And you know what we do? Confounded, Lord, $2,000, man. I had plans for that $2,000. Yeah, and you know what we do? We start acting like it's all ours instead of his. You know what? If you and I were walking and you said, and we have this thing when we're in Cuba, we've got this bag that all the money's in. We call it the football, you know, kind of like the nuclear codes the president carries. So one of us at all times is keeping an eye on that because that's where the money is. And you know, we stick it in there as a team. And a lot of times I'll be like, hey, look, I need X number of dollars out of that bag. You know, we're going to do this, or we've talked about something. You know, could you imagine what it'd be like if I went up there and said, okay, look, we're gonna go ahead and pay the Awana missionary salary down in Cuba for this next year. I need X thousands of dollars. And then the person carrying the football said, oh, wait a minute, what do you mean you need X thousands of dollars? Man, we got all this money in here acting like it was his. By the way, it's easy to spend somebody else's money, isn't it? We all good at that. But when it comes to what we think is ours, keep that in mind. It is not yours. Now, I'm not here today to preach about tithing, but I am here today to tell you that scripture says, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And this is talking about your enemies, not people you love. People that you, in your heart and your mind, say, I wouldn't walk across the street to say hello to that guy. The Lord is saying, not only walk across the street and greet him, but help him out financially. I've said this before, I have never ever lended a dollar expecting it to be returned. You know why? That way I don't get disappointed. I don't get mad at nobody. If I've ever done something like that, it's been one of those situations that if I never ever see another dollar of it ever again, I'm still going to love them. I'm not going to be upset with them. I'm not going to be uptight with them. You know why? Because that's not my money. That's the Lord's money. And the Lord said to make application to it. Now, I want to go ahead and throw one thing in here that this verse does not bring about, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's been my life. I've lived this life and seen it happen. You cannot outgive God. Yeah, God will come up and say, okay, I want you to use part of my money for this. And sometimes it hurts a little bit, and then you do. And then all of a sudden, God has this way of not only bringing it back to you. And I'm not preaching prosperity theology. Don't you dare go out here and start saying any of that mess. Don't say the pastor's going, oh, name it and claim it. No. But I'll tell you, you're not going to outgive God. I've said before, I've had tires run an incredible amount of miles before they ever had to be replaced. I shared with y'all one time, I drove a set of tires 120,000 miles and didn't have to replace them. And I said, them good tires, I'm going to put them on there again. The next set lasted 30,000. God has ways of doing that. And he's not saying do this just for the people you love. He's saying do this for your enemy. Lend, hoping for nothing in return, meaning you're not expecting anything back. This love is not contingent upon the behavior of other people. Rather, it's modeled after the nature of God himself. It is God's character. It's an agape type love. It's a love that's hard for us to understand. You know, when Jesus mentions that the reward for such will result in being, what does the word say? Sons of the Most High. See, he is underlining the transformation that aligns believers with the character of who God is. See, when you do these things, you exemplify the character of a holy God. And isn't that what we desire to be? How many times have we, I still really like the thing, and I think it was going around back in like the early 90s, maybe even the late 80s. Remember the WWJD? What would Jesus do? If we would pause and ask ourselves those questions and be honest about what Jesus would do, it would go a long way in our relationships. It would go a long way in our world. Now, let me put another little caveat in there. What would Jesus do? You better know what Jesus would do. And how do you know what Jesus would do? You study His Word. There are too many people who are going through life and don't have a clue why they believe what they believe. And if you don't know why you believe what you believe, you can never defend what you believe. And I keep running into Christians all over the place that cannot explain why they believe what they believe. Well, my pastor said, listen, I don't care what this pastor says from this pulpit, you better be proving it through God's Word. Checks and balances. You got to do that. God provides us examples through kindness to the unthankful and evil people. And in this passage, it's suggesting that that our money should echo the boundless mercies of our Father in heaven, because it's not really ours. All right, so this passage challenges the traditional view of, and I'm going to use a big word, reciprocity in relationships. Holding something over somebody, particularly when it comes down to those things. How many of y'all have ever had somebody hold something over you, regardless of what it was, throughout your life? Somebody kind of dangled something over your head. You know, you have seen maybe before, if you haven't experienced it, you may have seen it before, where somebody loans somebody some money with some expectation, and they dangle it over their head. They hold them captive and prisoner over such a thing. That they're just bound up. You know what the Lord said? No strings attached. Here you go. Well, when do I need to pay that back? Well, as you can. Hey, by the way, I think the Lord tries to see if people are faithful as well. You ever done something like that? When somebody honored their word and somebody came back and said, hey, look, I want to pay you back. And you said, hey, look, you know what? God was appreciative of the fact that you honored your word. So guess what? You can have it back. You don't owe it back anymore, because you were willing to do what you said you would do. And you know, if they never came back, you still got to be able to go sit down and have dinner. You still got to sit back and look at them and say, I'll tell you one thing. I love that Don. He owed me $10,000. Don never paid me that $10,000 back. I'm going to eat with him, because maybe there's a chance he'll reach in his pocket. Maybe there's a chance that he'll even buy lunch. Don, here's a, hey Don, there's a ticket, buddy. Could you at least buy lunch, buddy? You owe me 10 grand. But you see, it's the heart of the matter. It's how we feel about it. Can we genuinely do these things? See, our problem is that most of the time it's a facade. That's a fancy word, isn't it? Our kindness is a facade. It doesn't truly reflect how we feel inside when it comes down to such a thing. That is a sad testimony. Let me tell you why. Here's why it's a sad testimony. Because the Lord told us we're to love our enemies. The Lord told us we are to give without expectation of something in return. That, folks, is a condition of the heart. Are you following me? That's a heart condition. And I think a lot of times in our society, a lot of Christians got some bad heart conditions. That's what that is. I mean, how easy is it to be what the world says? Now, that doesn't mean that you're going out of here saying, well, the preacher said I'm to become everyone's sugar daddy. That is not what I said. Not at all. But I'm saying that what happens is you have to listen to what the Lord says to you. And you've got to be faithful with what He says. And this passage is a challenge of the traditional views, not only of that time, but of this time. Yeah, the theological foundation here is rooted in the understanding that divine love is not based on merit, but is an expression of pure grace. Yeah, have you ever asked yourself the question, why does God love me? You ever think about that? Have you ever asked maybe somebody in your life, why do you love me? Here's why a lot of times you'll ask that question, because you know what you're like. And a lot of times you know that you're not a very lovable person. And what happens is you can't understand why somebody is loving you because you yourself don't even love yourself. So why should somebody else? And you'll ask that question. Why do you love me? Well, that was one of the greatest questions when I was out doing disaster relief one time. And I still remember when somebody said, why are you doing this? Why are you here? Why are you sleeping on a freezing cold concrete gymnasium floor? And it was a freezing cold concrete. Let me tell you something about concrete. It will give you hypothermia. It will suck every ounce of heat out of your body. And he says, why are you doing this? And I still remember saying, because I love you. And the 86-year-old man said, you don't even know me. I said, no, but God knows you, and God loves you, and God loves me. In fact, God knew that my team had some talents and abilities, and He even called us out of central North Carolina to come to the eastern part of North Carolina and sleep on a cold floor to help your family out because He loves you, and we're family. He couldn't understand that. Over the next 2 days. You see, here's the thing. He was not a believer, but his wife was. For decades, she had been praying for his salvation. For decades, she had been a faithful example of what a Christian should be. And on the last day, he came to me again. He said, why are you doing this? It's because we love you. He said, there's no money involved? Nope. Price has already been paid by fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. They've already paid for all this stuff. And you're bringing it to me. Yeah. You have built the whole backside of my house again in 2 days. You have made my wife happy. Remember, I've shared y'all with that story before. I went back there and I said, what would you like back here? And she said, well, I had this and I had that. And I said, let's get rid of had. Doesn't matter what you had. What do you want back here? She says, oh, I've never had a walk-in closet in my life. Walk-in closet, check. And then we laid it out, designed it up, and before we left, it was framed in and ready to go. She was just sitting there going, she was tickled. And I expressed to that man before we left, when he said, I don't get this. I said, that's what believers do. That's what you do in the family of God. He said, none of you people even knew us, and yet you came out here to work for us. I said, that's because our boss sent us here, and our boss loves you. Our boss is the Lord. That's why we're here. I said, we're just following orders, man. And then I got to share Jesus with him. I got to share what it meant to be a believer. And I said, do you realize you can change your eternal destination standing right here in the new part of your house? I said, would you like to do that? And I still remember his old Eastern country way. And he said, I believe I would. I said, great. And I explained to him, prayer is conversation with God. I explained to him how Jesus coming into his heart and life changes his heart and life. And I remember his wife, his little old wife, just bawling her eyes out, standing right there when he asked Jesus to come into his heart. And I've said this before, I don't know, I guess from the houses that were around, when that old man said amen, there was more people around that house than there are in this church building today. They were hanging in windows. It sounded like a stadium, all the people cheering for this guy. That, my friends, is what love is like. That's what it's about. And we didn't sit back saying, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If we get those 2x6, we get a bundle of them 2x6, it's going to be a couple $1,000s for that, and then the plywood to come over here. No. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand because this is counterintuitive. These verses are counterintuitive to what society teaches us today. Love. Love people. Love those not only that are lovable, but love those that are unlovable. Love those enemies of yours and do good to them. Give to them without expecting anything in return. Try it. See what happens. Watch what God will do. By loving our enemies and acting mercifully, believers reflect the nature of God in the world. You know, we are showing people what he's like. Yeah, we're showing people his kingdom values. And consequently, this command is not just an ethical teaching, but a deeply theological concept called a command. He doesn't say, you know what? I really would like for you to go over and try to love on your enemies. If you feel like it, love on your enemies. That's not what he said, is it? He said, love your enemies. In other words, I wasn't a really good student growing up, but I'll tell you this. I can remember this in English. The understood you. Judy knows one. Where are my teachers out there? The understood you at the beginning of a sentence. He says, love your enemies. You know what that really means? You love your enemies. The understood part. That's a command to me. It's a command to you as a believer. You love your enemies. And it's deep in theology. It reveals the heart of God and his expectations of his children. He expects that of us. It's an expectation. Do you have expectations of your children? What happens when those expectations are not met? Well, let me share it with you. Here's what happens. It's time for a conversation. Either that or the Board of Education to be applied to the seat of one's learning. I know how that goes. So how do we take these verses today and apply them to our lives? How do we take this teaching and make it active in our lives? Well, we can start by evaluating our interactions with those that we consider our enemies or our adversaries or those who mistreat us. What is your thought? You've heard me use this expression before. There are people in your life that make you think of things that don't please Jesus. Those are the people I'm talking about right now. How do you treat them? You know, you could be having a good old day and then you turn around and you see them and you're like, ah. You can feel it in you. Well, okay, that's how you identify what's going on. How are your interactions with them? Do you say, I'm not talking to them. I wouldn't walk across the street to see that. No. How do you treat them? That's a good start. How do you deal with those who mistreat you? Practically, this means extending kindness and service without expecting anything in return. Well, I went over and talked to them, and they didn't talk back to me. I shook their hand, but they didn't shake mine. See, remember that reciprocity that we're talking about? We think they should treat us like that. They should, but if they don't, that's not a prerequisite for you to love your enemies. And Christians will use that as an excuse. Well, I tried to be nice to them, but I'm just not going to do it anymore because they're not nice back to me. No, that's not how that works. Kill them with kindness. Y'all have heard that before, haven't you? That really works. You want to drive somebody crazy that's an adversary? Be kind. Oh, let me back up. Be genuinely kind to them. be agape love kind to them, not expecting anything in return. Because look, yeah, there are people that grate on my nerves, but I go in with the attitude that God has commanded me, like, I'm going to go love on them. I'm like, hey, there's my jerk over there. Let me go see him. I've also watched God change people's hearts by doing that. See, a lot of times you don't know the story of what's going on in somebody else's life either. Sometimes I've heard people say what's going on and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. It's not an excuse for them to be the way that they've been, but you understand more why they were the way they were. And when you sit back, then all of a sudden, that same person that you called jerk and various other names are the ones that you're praying for and saying, Lord, I didn't know that about them. How about blessing them? Give them a break. Help me to be an instrument in their life of who you are. You know what? You may not get that. There may be people that hate you, and they're going to continue to hate you. Still be kind to them. I've met those people in my life before as well. I know it's surprising y'all. Somebody hates me? Yeah. But you know the thing about it is, I've done my best. I sleep good at night knowing that I have loved and would continue to love my enemies. So Jesus' teaching in Luke 6:35 and 36 invites us into a journey of radical love and mercy that mirrors the very heart of who God is. And as followers of Christ, we're called to emulate that compassion, for other people to see that within us, you know, to see His compassion crossing over those traditional boundaries of justice and fairness. You know what? There are people who at times will sit back and say, you know what, this guy, he's not on my side, but he's not on their side. He's just loving all of us. And I like him because of that. I love him because of that. I love her because of that. You know, it's not about taking a side. It's about loving everybody. Listen, as a pastor, people will always try to get you to take sides. Well, whose side are you on? Hers or mine? I'm like, neither one of you. You know, my statement is this. I said, particularly when it comes down to couples, there's three sides to every story. His side, her side, and the right side. I said, I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to love on both of y'all. I've done that before, even with family. Well, we're not going to like this person because of something that they did. I'm like, I'm going to keep on loving them just for what they are. My relationship and my love for them is not based on what they do. It's based on who they are and who I am in position with God Almighty. Ooh, all of a sudden that looks different, doesn't it? That looks different. See, as a believer, you are commanded to love your enemies. I didn't say it was easy, but you're commanded to do that. This kind of transformative love not only blesses others, but it also draws us near to the heart of our Heavenly Father, and it aligns us with His purpose in our lives. Think about that for just a minute. Where do you fall on that spectrum? That is not exactly, I would say not exactly the Valentine's Day message that y'all were thinking it was going to be. Because it deals with love. See, you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to get my wife cards and candies and flowers and I'm going to do all these things. Man, they're easy to love by and large. But it's about the person that would be considered your enemy. How you doing loving on your enemy? I want to challenge you this Valentine's Day. Listen, love on all the people in your life as you should. But I also want to challenge you to love on somebody that's difficult to love on. You don't have expectations of something to come in return. Even if it's just to drop by, listen, get you one of them little Whitman samplers or something, or one of them little heart Russell Stovers. Brad, y'all come on up. Just get you a little box of candy. That grouchy old neighbor who's always hollering at you, get off of my lawn. You take her a little box of candy over there and a little Valentine. Say, hey, I just wanted to stop by and let you know that I love you. Don't lie to them. You're going to start to see things change. You do that as a habit, you will begin to see things change. You know, when it snowed and that grouchy old lady that don't want you on the lawn, I tell you, if you shovel off her walk, don't even let her know you're doing it. Do it when she's out. Pretty soon she's going to be going, who's doing this? And you know what she might do? She might say, somebody was on my lawn. I need the blink cameras out right now. I don't know. Try your best to love on people who are unlovable. Now, here's the funny part. I don't have to sit back and say, you don't have to index it and go, who's unlovable in my life? You already know who that is. You might have a list this long. Try it and watch what happens. Expecting nothing in return, loving them in the way that the Lord would love you. Now, let me tell you this. That's difficult. I mentioned that. It's impossible without the Lord. You can't do that without Him. You don't know what love is without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You sit back and say, why would He go to that cross for me? He did it for you. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus still would have gone through Calvary's cross. Pretty humbling, isn't it? Have you trusted Him? It's not just about having head knowledge. Have you said, Lord, I understand that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior, and You're the only one. You're the only one who can save me. So today I confess my sins to You. I ask Your forgiveness, and I ask You to save my soul. If that's you today, listen, I'm just going to encourage you wherever you are, just bow your head and say, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you did that, that's the handshake. You know, we talk about Jesus knocking at the door. He'd been knocking at the door. If you just you prayed and asked Him that, you have opened the door and said, come in. Now He's come in. What are you going to do now? Stare at each other? We good Southern folk. What do we do when somebody comes into the house and you say, come on in? What do you say? None of y'all know. I'm a man up here. I'm going to his house. Hey, look, sit over here. This is the best recliner we got. It's good and soft. Hey, would you like something to eat? Look at me. Do I look like I don't? Pies and cakes and cookies and coffee and a cup of water. That's good old Southern hospitality. You know what happens? We get to know each other. That's exactly what the Lord wants to do in the home of your heart. He knows you. He wants you to begin to know Him. So you need to be discipled. Don't let that word scare you. Discipleship's fun if you do it right. You need to be obedient to follow in baptism. Have you done that? I'm going to encourage you, if you trusted Christ or if you have any of those needs, in just a moment, we're going to start singing a song. It's called The Invitation. I'll be down here. Just come up here and let me know. That's the first step, the step of responsibility. And we want to celebrate with you. The second thing is, if you're here today, you're a believer, and the Holy Spirit just kicked you in the rump about six times, deal with what it is that He has put on your heart. Maybe you haven't been the example you should be in loving your enemies. Maybe you need to do a better job at that. Maybe you need to actually start the process along the way of loving those who hate you and doing for them, expecting nothing in return. You know, you would not believe how many Christians have said, you know, that is a really difficult thing for me. And you know what my answer usually is, being just purely honest? I said, it's probably because you're stingy and selfish. Listen, if y'all don't want to hear the truth, don't come talk to me. They looked at me like, what do you mean stingy and selfish? I said, you know what? You just helped somebody out here in a financial way, and you're upset because you're not getting it back. I said, are you missing any meals? I said, look at your life. God's been good to you. I said, so that just basically means you're selfish. I can't tell you how many people have gone, yeah, I guess I am. And I'm over here going, okay. Where do you stand? Do you love your enemies? Do you pray for those who persecute you? Oh, don't ask me to do that. It hurts. This Valentine's Day, love on the ones that are easy to love on, but also love on those who are incredibly difficult to love on. That's your challenge this week. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Oh, and by the way, that challenge is just to start this week and continue through the rest of your life. What decisions have you made for the Master today? If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. Brad's going to come up and lead us as we sing our invitation hymn number 281, Speak to My Heart. Would you stand with me? Your hands are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you do business with God, as you stand in His presence, can you truly say, it is well with my soul? Make sure it's right before you even think about taking another step. Make sure that you are in line with what the Lord has spoken to your heart today, because if you came and listened, He had a message for you. Maybe it was encouragement, maybe it was something for correction, whatever it may have been. Make sure you deal with that today. Don't let it just slide on by. As you continue to seek the Father, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we come to you today again, we are thankful for the provision that you provide in each and every one of our families and our homes. And Father, giving back to you is an act of worship. So we're going to continue to worship by returning to you the tithe and the offering. And Father, we know that there are many needs. We've got the mission trip coming up. Lord, we haven't been in your house for the past 2 weeks, but we also know that you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. So may we be truly faithful as we return to you the gifts that you have laid upon our heart, as well as the tithe that you have commanded. And may you bless each gift and giver in a special way, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things, then we'll get you on out the door. The only birthday I have listed for this week is Annette Joyce. This coming Tuesday, we'll be having a birthday, so be sure to give her a call, shoot her a text, or whatever it is the Lord so leads you to do to wish her a very happy birthday. Order of things that we've got going on today, my D-Life discipleship group will meet at 3:30 today. We've been gone too long. We've been snowed in, as old boy says. So 3:30 today for my discipleship group. 4:30, we will have a deacons meeting in FLC 116, which is right across from the kitchen. This is another one we've been trying to have now for 2 or 3 weeks. So 4:30 for the deacons. Choir practice, 4:45. Ready to go. Awana is at 5:30 over in the Family Life Center. And then Bible study will be this evening at 6 o'clock with Pastor David and a special guest, right? Is that?
No.
Okay. Special guest, David Miller. He'll be there for you. That's why I was saying, special guest. It's been a while. So at any rate, be sure to be in those places. Take advantage of the times to get together because, like I said, if you're like I am, it's been a rough 2 weeks not being able to come together. There's not really a good way to say it, but it's kind of like a junkie getting a fix. I mean, I got to preach today. It's a good thing for a preacher when that's what you've been called to do. Just a couple of other things to mention. Please remember the Hold family. Brandy Hold, as you all know, they usually sit right over here with Don and Barbara. Brandy's the little girl, special needs girl. She's been in the hospital for over a week now, and last night they essentially have moved her to Beacon Place Hospice, and it does not look good. Her kidneys are shutting down. She is having liver problems. She has not responded to treatment. Her mother, Diane, is usually with her, so we want to remember that whole family as they're going through this difficult time. Right now, lift them up in your prayers. Continue to remember Marcia as she recovers from knee surgery, and Jeff Williard as he is recovering from knee surgery. We got a problem with our wheels around here. We got knee problems. I mean, Cherie, we've had all kinds of knee problems in this place. But at any rate, just prepare. If you're part of our family, you're gonna have a knee problem somewhere down the line. I do want to remind you of this, and then I'm going to have Pastor David will come up and dismiss us in prayer, and he can give us an update on Donna as well. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday, okay? It's going to be a special Sunday if you show up, okay? Here's why. Because when I had the privilege of being in Israel the first week of December, I had the privilege of being with 1,000 pastors and being able to have communion at the tomb, at the empty tomb. Man, what a great, great time that was. But my church family is always on my heart and always in my prayers. So while I was there, I picked up some of the little olive wood communion cups. These came from the tomb, the resurrection tomb. We will have communion in these cups next week. And you will get to keep that cup as a way to remember my trip, be a part of my trip, and all the wonderful things that I got to see. But I wanted you to be a part of it because you are my family. And that was something that was really, really special. Now, we will probably serve these in a different way because they don't fit in our little silver cup. So you'll probably have some further directions on that next Sunday at the end of our service. We will have communion. I guarantee you that Phyllis and David and Tammy and Nancy and all the other communion folks, they take this very seriously. This is their ministry. I believe also that we have made sure that we have some for those that are our homebound folks. That I know we offer them the opportunity to take communion. So if you're at home, Donry, Othenia, all of our loved ones that join us on a regular basis, you will actually have your little communion cup as well. We will make sure that you get it. But at any rate, I'm looking forward to having that time of us coming together. Don't worry, you won't drink out of this one. That's mine. I've fumbled with it and put it in my pocket and everything else. But we look forward to having that time and opportunity to come together next Sunday at the end of our service to to celebrate communion. It was pretty interesting in the fact that I got to stand in the upper room where that took place. And all of a sudden, all these things just came to life like they never had. Not that I ever had a doubt, not that I didn't believe, but I was sitting there going, this is cool. This is where Jesus and the disciples did the Last Supper. And then being able to sit back and go, hey, here's where the widow's mite took place. And right over there, I stood in a place where Satan tempted Jesus to throw himself off the temple. And I stood where he drove the money changers out of the temple. Listen, if you ever get a chance to go, you need to go. And you'll need a guide. So you need me to go with you. So just include that in the cost, and I will be more than happy to take you to those places and have those opportunities to walk where Jesus walked. Also, we're grateful to have Steve back, healthy, well, in one piece. Okay, Steve spent last week in Tennessee, deployed with North Carolina Baptists on Missions as the site chaplain. They're still running teams down to Tennessee. I think as of last report I heard, they had 150 chainsaw jobs where they needed to cut people out. They're still serving meals down there. They're doing chainsaw work for those folks that got devastated by an ice storm. Jimmy McDonald and I actually drove a bunk trailer down there, down and back. It was 1,277 miles, but we drove a bunk trailer in there, and I have never seen some of the things I had seen before. And I'm a hillbilly. I mean, we got just east of Nashville, and all of a sudden I went around a curve, and it was a different world. And I kept looking, and all the roads going through Nashville looked wet, but it was 16 degrees. And I said, that's not wet. That's ice. So we pushed our way on down through there, made the drop. I saw freezing fog. Anybody ever experienced that? Hallelujah. I don't ever want to see it again. It's the weirdest thing, but the condensation in fog, yeah, we saw all those incredibly wonderful things as we were heading to Tennessee, dropped and then came back. Steve was there for the whole week, led the chaplaincy crew there. Love that guy, love his heart, love his ministry, and I know they love him too. He may crack me up one day because he called Tom Beam, our kind of big boss. He said, I saw the wizard at breakfast, and I started laughing. I thought, the Wizard of Oz. And don't worry, we're not talking about him behind his back. Steve even told him he called him the wizard, and we laughed about it. So at any rate, pray for us. Pray for our team. Pray about supporting our mission team. We don't want to have to decide things that we used to support that we no longer can. Be sure to give like you always have in a sacrificial way, because I promise you it makes a difference. Pastor David, come on up. See us off in a word of prayer. Give us an update on Donna or any other things that you know. We've had a lot of sickness, a lot of things going on here lately.
We did have a lot of things going on. I
was informed just before our service started this morning that Texie Wilson has lost two sisters this week, one Thursday and one this morning. So pray for Texie and her family. Also, Donnie Pegg, Eddie's brother, has been fighting a battle with pancreatic cancer for a little over a year now. And he has been in the hospital. I'm not sure if he's still there or not, but pray for Eddie and their family. Eddie's got several brothers, and I think Donnie's the youngest one in the group, but pray for that family. Now, because we haven't had church in a couple of weeks, we missed the opportunity to promote something that I want to promote for you this morning. We're going to have a seniors luncheon at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax Thursday at 11 o'clock. It won't cost you anything to eat. You just come and order what's on the menu, and I'll pay the bill. I'm going to do it with that $10,000 that Don owes Roy. No, seriously, we want you to come. Now, they asked me when I was talking to them about setting this up, can you tell us how many's coming, because they want to have it set up for us. So if there's a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer this morning, if you'll just sign up so I can give them a general idea of how many people are going to be there, and we'd love for you to come. It's great fellowship. We've had one of these already. We had one in December in Winston, but this one's close by. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your mercy and grace. And God, as we try to apply this message to our heart today, help us to be people of mercy and grace. Lord, help us to give back what you've given so richly to us as we deal with our fellow man. Lord, bless each one of us as we go from this place today. Keep us safe. Help us to be a witness for you in all that we do. Lord, bless these folks who are going through difficult times. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.